So it was not a balmy summer's day.
Oh my God, I'm shocked.
I know. It was an evening, but not a, it was probably, I think probably an autumn evening. I'd gone to a fabulous mess dinner. And afterwards, we were allowed to stay in the mess. So we had these little sort of rooms that officers stay in when they're in mess. I put myself to bed. I hadn't drunk too much. A lot of people were getting into the booze, but I thought, no, I don't want to do it because I had work to do the next morning. And then in the middle of the night, just as I'm drifting off, the door bursts open and I can hear this ruckus, a ruckus going on outside.
Okay.
Two guys run in, grab me, drag me out of the bed. I'm hooded and then zip tied behind and dragged down the hall.
That's an aggressive wake up.
It was one of the more interesting ways to find myself out of bed.
Welcome to I Spied, the metal file in a Russian torture chamber.
If you think that's bad, you should try Soviet orthodontics. It's really, really painful.
No, I don't want to.
Go on.
Hello and welcome to I Spied. My name's Michelle Stevenson. I'm a journalist with Nova Entertainment and I'm joined by David Callan who, I mean, gosh, he likes to think of himself as a spy. I don't know.
Don't get me wrong. I don't think of myself as a spy at all. I really think I am the Australian government's number one embarrassment.
Yeah, maybe more of a nightmare.
Yes, a mistake that they... I am the redheaded stepson of Australian espionage.
The redheaded stepson. No one owns him. No one.
No one. Even my mother has denied all knowledge of me.
Which is fair, and I'm getting close to it as well. Previously, we've spoken... Well, we did have a guest a couple of weeks ago, Matt Bevan, which was great because we basically talked, you know, foreign interference and all that, all those kinds of things, which was really fascinating chat. Yep. And then last week... broke down right-wing extremism.
Yes.
Which was interesting as well. And extremism in all forms.
Exactly. I mean, extremists, by their very nature, are on the outside edges of the wings of politics and religion. And, of course, they're all crazy.
And today, what are we talking about?
Well, today we're going to talk about what happens if ASIO grab you off the street.
Yeah, I can't even imagine.
Exactly. You can't because we don't talk about it very much. And also, there were a lot of myths around what would happen if you grabbed by ASIO. I mean, I'm talking... Let's go back to what I was talking about.
Yeah, so you've basically been woken up. You've had
bagged,
a hood.
The classic black hood over the head.
Oh, my gosh.
The zip tie behind.
Yeah.
And dragged down corridors and put into probably the back of a truck.
Yeah.
With a lot of other people that I'd been at dinner with. And we're driven around and driven around and driven around. Now, personally, I think we were driven around a lot to be taken back to pretty much where we were to begin with.
Right.
And then the interrogation started. Now, what was really interesting about it was a lot of sleep deprivation.
Right. So this was an exercise.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's get things really clear here.
This didn't happen.
This was ASIO going, damn it, this guy's such an idiot. Let's punish him.
Yeah.
No, this was an exercise. Classic thing that happened where training turned around and said, hey, there's an exercise. Would you like to go on it?
Mm.
And no one else wanted to. And I went, yeah, why not? Sounds good. It was a training exercise to teach people what to do in case they get captured.
Right.
Yeah. It was not the best idea I've ever had. It was one of the most unpleasant ideas. And I can tell you, it really taught me what it's like to not sleep for long periods of time.
Yeah. I can't imagine putting my hand up for something like this.
Well, I didn't know that's what it was.
Were you like, I love acting exercises.
Yeah.
This will help me.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought, you know, if I do this training exercise, it's got something to do with, there'll be military officers there and diplomats and, oh, this will be interesting.
Yeah. I'll have an experience to draw on in my theatre.
I'll be able to draw on. Oh, yes. And boy, if anyone says, can you act like you haven't slept for 50 hours? Oh, hell to the air.
Yeah.
It's very easy. Actually, I think I got up to about 65.
Well, most of the mums I know pretty much do it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I was so totally ready for our first child.
For a newborn.
Like my wife just went, you're really good at this. Hold it. What? Okay.
Okay.
The thing is, lots of loud music, lots of bright lights. One of the things that was fascinating about the way they do it is that they will switch the lights off and switch the music off and let you go to sleep.
Right.
But then they almost automatically wake you. And the first thing they do is they give you breakfast.
Okay. Why? Oh, because they want to keep you fed and sustained?
No, they want to completely throw your mind as to what time it is.
Right.
Right. So it's all about confusion.
Wow.
So yeah. Now, here's the thing that's really important for everyone to understand. I'm going to say this now, and I want you all to take this in. It's the most important thing you can think of. We don't do this to people when we interrogate
them.
No. Right. It is against the Geneva Convention. The thing is, other people do this to people, and we have examples of Australians. It happened to Australians in Guantanamo Bay. David Hicks talks about how he was basically kept awake for days on end. And the way they kept him awake was they kept playing the theme song from Barney the Dinosaur.
Oh my gosh. That's like, you know what? If you know what would really, really be torture for me? And it already is.
Yeah.
Baby Shark. Oh. Now, I only have to say those words and people know exactly what I'm talking about. If they played Baby Shark over and over, like a child who does quite often, I would be like, what do you need to know?
Thomas the Tank Engine for me. Thomas the Tank Engine, or it's the other one called Brum. Because my kids, when they were really little, they just wanted to watch Thomas the Tank Engine or Brum or, yes, I'm going to say it, the ultimate weapon in the Interrogator's Handbook, the Wiggles.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah. Toot, toot, chugga, chugga, I will tell you what you need to know. Now, the problem with torture is this.
That it's not pleasant?
Well, yeah, that's okay. I'll give you that.
I mean,
I'm gonna say, it's not at all pleasant.
Okay.
But the other thing is, it's not at all effective. Yeah, I will talk. I will tell you whatever you want to know. Yeah. That doesn't mean it's right. All right. So the whole thing is with an interrogation is it's you have a very, very small window of time to get the intelligence you need before that intelligence is defunct.
Yeah. Right?
Now, the great example, I have a brother in the military and he said the whole thing that they were taught, and that was what it was apparent from this exercise, is tell them everything. You know, stop the pain, stop the agony, stop the unpleasantness. Tell them everything you know.
Because they'll keep going.
But the other thing as well is within 24 hours, if you're captured or taken within 24 hours, if you are working for, say, a government organization or you are working with a well-organized extremist organization.
They'll know that you're taken.
They know that you're taken everything. And you're going to tell them everything. Yeah. So everything will be changed.
Yeah.
Right. So intelligence, that's why it's a really very narrow window. And this will bring us to what's going on with ASIO and their ability to interrogate now. Right. So there's that. So you will tell them everything you know. Right. But I mean,
did you know that going into this exercise, though? Or were you there just to, like, experience the full kind of, I'm not going to tell you anything?
Michelle, I'm going to be honest with you. Do you think I was paying attention to anything when I walked through that door?
They handed you notes on what you should be doing and you ceremoniously just threw them out.
No, they don't hand you notes. That's the whole point. They want to catch you on the hop. The whole thing was, do you really think I was paying attention at all? Someone said training and I just went, oh, sweet, a couple of days off work. You know, sit around, have a couple of, you know, go out and have nice dinners with people. This will be fun. No, it wasn't fun.
You weren't paying attention when they actually said, we're going to waterboard you.
Yeah. again, with this training exercise, I was not physically harmed at all.
Okay.
And they were very, very careful. They monitored you.
So no animals were hurt in this segment.
This animal wasn't. Emotionally, I was a little scarred. But again, there was a lot of psychologists waiting around to, like, take you aside and go, hey, right, now we're going to call it quits because this is getting crazy and we're not trying to break records. No, I swear to God, I can make it to 72 hours. Sit down, shut up, you're an idiot.
So they put you to sleep, wake you up, feed you.
Literally, they just annoyed the hell out of you.
Right.
But the thing is, it's what happens is within, if you stay awake for 24 hours, I mean, you feel pretty ratty. But your cognitive abilities are already beginning to break down, right? After about 40 hours awake, your ability to rationalize is really, really, really getting quite hairy. And if you've been awake for 50 plus hours, stuff starts coming out of the walls at you. You will start to hallucinate. So it's not pleasant.
It's cheaper than licking a frog, basically.
Yeah, but it takes so much longer. Yeah. And if you're in Queensland, those frogs are everywhere.
I know.
Right. Though they did make me lick a frog. So the whole thing is it's all about keeping you out of balance. They unbalance you and then they drill you for information. Now that's like sleep deprivation is terrible and it can cause irreparable mental damage.
Really?
That's why I'm sitting here wearing a pair of webbed feet.
how irreparable?
It would, if they keep you all awake for sort of up to 100 hours or so, it can seriously cause you, it can actually start breaking down synapses. It's not good. There are medical texts that say it's really, really dangerous.
Wow.
Right. And also just the psychosis that can be created by the fact that you don't know what reality is anymore. So that's a psychological torture and it's quite effective up to a point. But again, it's all to do with timing and it's all to do with the subject finally going, I can't take anymore, I'll tell you whatever
because
you want
to know. I would imagine though if they go too far that they're pushed to the brink that they wouldn't even be making sense in their head of what they should be saying either.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally.
So it's kind of like a fine line, right?
Yeah, it's a very, very fine line. And that's just sleep deprivation. When you get into the enhanced interrogation techniques.
So by enhanced interrogation, we'll just call it torture.
Yeah, let's go with the real word for it.
Yeah.
As much as Donald Rumsfeld wanted to glamour it up, it's torture, right? And the thing is, waterboarding someone is essentially taking them to the brink of drowning.
Yeah.
Stress.
So we should explain what waterboarding is because I don't think a lot of people actually understand it.
Do you know what waterboarding is?
Yes. Yeah, so
would you like a full-on description?
No. Well, I know what it is, but yeah. I don't think everyone...
Okay, so simply put, waterboarding is you're laid down on a table or a board. Literally, you're on a board that is angled so your head is slightly lower than your chest.
Yeah.
They then take a wet cloth and hold it over your face. Over your mouth. So you can't close your mouth.
Yeah.
Right. And then they pour water on it. So what happens is you can't breathe. You start breathing in water.
Yeah.
Right. Now, the whole point is at any time they can stop it, flip you, clear your lungs and bring you back. Right. But the whole idea is you can't breathe. You're drowning.
Yep.
You're drowning and you're on dry land. And it's a horrific torture. That's terrible.
So waterboarding was used specifically with the Americans at Guantanamo?
Yeah, they used it in Guantanamo. Yep. Well, yeah. See, that's the interesting thing. When you get down to the stuff that the Americans were doing, they had this thing called extraordinary rendition, which is...
What does that mean?
Kidnapping. basically, they would take someone they thought was an intelligence source or someone... what was the phrase they used during the Gulf War? An enemy combatant.
Mm.
And then they would fly them to what's called a black site.
Yep.
Now, black sites are in countries that either are not subject to the Geneva Convention or don't really care about being subject to the Geneva Convention, whether they are or not. Eastern Europe was a site for some of them, also sort of Central Asia, and of course Guantanamo Bay, because it's got this weird sort of – the sovereignty of Guantanamo Bay is so strange.
Yeah.
I've tried to figure it out. Essentially, it's an American base that they don't own, they lease.
Yeah, so it's kind of like an international waters. Like it doesn't count.
It's the international waters of land. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It does. So the whole thing is they will take you there and they can do pretty much whatever you want. Now, Zero Dark 30, the lovely thing about putting that guy in a box, people would go, what's so uncomfortable? What's so bad about that? Do 24 hours in there and see how you feel. When you cannot stretch out, your muscles start to atrophy.
I couldn't do it.
Your joints start to ache. Everything goes wrong. And it's not so much pain. There is pain there, but it's the discomfort and it's the confusion. Stress positions where you're forced to stand in a slight squat, not a full squat, a slight squat where your muscles just can't hold you up, but you can't move from that position. It's all designed to break down your resistance, right? So sleep deprivation, it breaks down your resistance by basically
mentally and breaking
down your whole concept of reality. But when you then slide into stuff like enhanced interrogation
torture, just call it torture.
Right, you become torture. And then there you get into the crazy degrees of torture.
So, what are we talking crazy?
The worst one I heard about, and this was from an Eastern Bloc country, let's just call it that, because I don't want to get sued by a nation. Essentially, let's have a look at two people get captured.
Yep.
Two soldiers get captured or two officers get captured. They're both strapped down in chairs. Their heads are strapped to the back of the chair facing each other. Someone walks in with an iron file and files down the front teeth of one of them.
I can't even, like, I can't.
Yeah.
Stop.
No, it's not finished yet.
Oh, God.
They haven't touched the second guy.
I literally can't,
teeth.
No, can you stop?
Sorry. Then they turn to the guy who they haven't touched and go, talk or you're next. You'll talk.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
No one wants their teeth filed.
Yeah, No. Right.
I can't, it's in my head now and I can't get it out.
I know, I'm looking at you right now. You're lots of going, I want to get out of this room. Right. But that's the whole concept of enhanced interrogation or torture.
It is terrible.
There to break your will.
Yeah.
Right. Now, ASIO have the ability to interrogate you. They can force you to talk.
Okay, so say ASIO wants to speak to you. Right. How would they go about it?
Right, first things first, I want to talk to you about, say, an organisation you're with that we're really worried about because they might be doing something dodgy.
Yeah.
I'm going to ring you. I'm going to get on the phone and go, Michelle.
That's simple.
It's Frosty here. I'm from ASIO. And I really need to talk to you about that organisation you're a member of. You know, the...
Little Athletics.
Yeah, Little Athletics. We understand that Little Athletics have got some really... They're dangerous.
Yeah.
You may not know it, but they're a very dangerous group of people. Those javelins, they could go off at any time.
Yeah.
Those shot puts, why do they have fuses in them, have you thought?
Don't get me started on the discus.
Oi, the discus. The frisbee for idiots. So what happens is they turn around, they'll ring you.
Yep.
Right. And you can either say... Oh, okay, I'll talk to you. Or you can say no, right? Mm. Now, if we are just looking at you as a source, chances are we'll go, okay, we can't do much about this. We can ring her again. But if we're looking at you as a potential subject and this is only terrorism related, we can't do this for espionage, right? We can we could get the police to arrest somebody we think is a spy and then we get to interrogate them after the police.
Yeah.
That's no fun. But... for a terrorist, we can literally turn around to the police and go, we need to talk to them now. Now, before we do that, we have to get a warrant. We need a piece of paper that says you are allowed to compel this person to talk to you.
Yeah.
Now, when we say compel this person to talk to you, that doesn't mean we go, right, get the pliers, get the file and find a friend of his. We're doing some mental work. Ooh, your head's going again. We can... basically, it means we can bring them in.
Yeah.
We can sit you down.
Mm-hmm.
We can sit you down in a room with us and we will ask you questions.
Okay. So just basically like being arrested.
Not quite.
But you're not
being
arrested.
Almost arrested.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, they can detain you.
Yeah.
They can up to 14 days
detain you. Who does the detaining? Is it police?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. And there's an ASIO agent.
Ah, that's the other thing. How many people would be in the room while you're being questioned, do you think?
I don't know. Don't they have like the... I've watched enough TV to know that there's like a mirrored glass panel, isn't there?
No. No.
I mean, TV's not real.
Dead. Oh, no, well, there is. Yeah. They can have that.
Yeah.
But they don't.
Okay.
Right. There could be up to 10 people in the room.
10 people?
You. Yeah. Because it's got to be complete. It's on a warrant. We're not just like grabbing you off the street, putting a bag over your head, zip tying you, throwing in the back of your truck.
It's a big room.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And in COVID times, I don't know how safe that is.
Well, you've got to get a bigger room.
Yeah.
It's very stuffy. Almost as stuffy as the studio. Now, what happens is they would have, like, you'd have your ASIO guys that are going to interview you. You'd also probably have the Inspector General of Intelligence and Security, who's like the ombudsman for these guys, or one of his representatives. You would have most likely a police officer or two. You'd have legal representation, not just for the person being interrogated. You'd also have it for you because you would have somebody sitting there going, oh, actually, you can't ask that. And then you've got what is called the transcribing and audiovisual people. So the people videoing it and the people writing it out. The woman in the courtroom that sits there typing it.
Stenographer.
That's the one. Right. So you'd have someone like that in there and they all have their presence must be explained to the subject.
Right. So I would imagine that it's more about crossing the T's, dotting the I's, making sure that, you know, everything is like a well-oiled machine. So there's no recourse.
Totally. Because if they've got any reason to come back at you, you're in a world of poo.
Okay.
Right. So there's that. Now, here's the other thing.
How old can they hold you?
Aha. That's the question you've asked. Yep. We've been waiting for and everyone's worried about it. They can interrogate you from the age of 14.
Right.
Now, a lot of people are very worried about this, and rightly so, because the implication is that they can take you in there, you don't have to know, your parents don't need to know or be present, and a lawyer doesn't need to know or be present. Now, here's the thing. Actually, your parents do need to know, and so does a lawyer.
Yeah.
But we can kick you out of the room if your mum and dad or your lawyer, if either of those people, you know, those representatives that are with you, start to interfere.
Yeah.
Right. Now, you could sit there and spit on the guys and swear at them and do whatever you want, and there's nothing they can do to stop you. Like, when I say that you, if you're the one being interrogated, you can be as rude as you like, and there's nothing they can do. They have to treat you with human dignity. It's in the act, right? They can't get out, go, you know, throw the phone book at you and pull out the rubber hoses.
And this age, we should mention, changed, you know, not very long ago and has a lot to do with the Terrorist Act.
It's only to do with terrorism again.
Yeah.
Because there's this number of young teenage boys, let's be honest, mainly, that are being radicalized online.
Yep.
And of course, there was the Parramatta shooting, which is a great example of that.
Yeah.
So ASIO wanted to have the power to be able to bring someone in and question them as quickly as possible, because these things are always very time sensitive.
Yeah.
Right. So there's the thing. Now, if your lawyer or your parents start getting uppity, we can remove you from the room.
Okay.
Right. But there will still be multitudes of witnesses. It's not just a kid and a bother boy, right, trying to get information. There is this procedure that sits around this to protect the interviewee as much as it's protecting the interviewer.
Yeah. And how long can you be held?
Ha ha. You can be detained for up to 14 days without notification.
Yes, and that changed too recently, didn't it?
I've been reading the parliamentary report on interrogation techniques. I'm going to post it. I will post it on our
Twitter feed.
Put it on Twitter, because I know there's a lot of people out there that would just absolutely love to read 150 pages of parliamentary briefs on ASIO interrogation.
Yeah.
They can hold you for up to 14 days. The funny thing is, they haven't done that yet.
No.
In fact, or not much. Maybe once, but they don't. Funnily enough, some of the stats, and I'll give you one. One guy was interviewed for 15 hours.
That's it.
15 hours.
So they got what they wanted.
But they can't interview for the whole 15 in one go. They've got to give you breaks, right? Now, if this guy was interviewed for 15 hours, most of them are like 5 hours, 2 hours.
Yeah.
It's not a lot of time. There was one that was, okay, one person was interviewed for 42 hours and 36 minutes and required an interpreter. Now, I probably think that person wasn't detained. They would probably have gone, you can go on your way and we'll call you back in, right? The warrant would keep standing, right?
So when you were going through the exercise,
yes.
How did it affect you? How did you break down?
It was terrifying.
Right.
It was just terrifying. And the thing is, reality starts to break down. So it went from being an exercise to, hang on, I've done something wrong and I need to confess it. I need to start. And literally it was, what do you want to know? I'll tell you.
Yeah.
And you do. You start blab and you will tell them the stupidest crap.
Really?
In the hopes that they will let you go. They will stop it. And it was like literally when I started just making stuff up, it's when the psychologist went, yeah, we've had enough with him.
Did you not have a safe word where you could tap out?
Sea cucumber.
Or were you not paying attention to that either?
I wasn't paying attention. Look, the weird thing about it is my memories of it all is really vague.
Right.
And naturally so. What I do remember is the feeling.
Mm.
And funnily enough, I've sort of re-experienced it as an actor.
Yeah.
I was booked to do a film shoot, but the film shoot was between midnight and 6 a.m. in a shopping mall. But I also still had work on during the day. So I had voiceover work.
Yeah.
I was just busy and I had shows.
I love how all of this ASIO job was just really like a side hustle to your acting work.
Totally.
Just a side hustle.
When I tell people that I joined ASIO to learn to become an actor, they all think it's funny, but it's like, it's a really good school.
Yeah.
Right? You get really great experience. So I'm doing this filming and it started out, I spent an entire day working and then I went and did a live show and then left the live show and went and filmed and then went home. And I think I got 2 hours sleep and then I got woken up because somebody was doing renovations in the building. And I woke up and it was that, like, you know that thing where you wake up and you haven't had enough sleep, you go, no, I feel great.
Yeah.
And it is. It's euphoria. It's when the euphoria kicks in. And I was like, no, I'm fine. This is great. And I went down to the beach and I had a swim and I feel really, really good.
Mm.
And then my wife got home and she said, you should probably have a nap because you're not due to a minute. No. Come on, let's watch that movie we're going to watch and blah, blah, blah. And then, I've got to get to the set. And, drove over to this shopping mall in Chatswood. I think it was Chatswood Chase or something like that. Did this filming and then got home and drove. Not smart, drove home and I'm sitting there in the house. It's getting at about 6 and I'm feeling like really twitchy and my wife hadn't washed up.
Mm.
And that was the most horrendous insult she could have done. She hadn't done the washing up. And I was like, you haven't done the washing up. And I was really starting to get very paranoid about it. And then I'm washing up. My wife described it brilliantly. We got big, white, fluffy bathrobes for our wedding presents. And we'd only been married for about 6 months. And I've got this big, white, fluffy bathrobe on. I've got the sleeves rolled up to my elbows. And I'm I'm at the sink washing up, and my wife got up, walked out onto the balcony of our apartment, had a cigarette, and then went back in to have her shower and get ready for work.
Mm.
And while she was doing that, I was waiting for her to turn around and say, I love you or something like that. And she didn't, because she didn't know. I was in the kitchen. She walked past the kitchen and I lost it. And she said she could hear blubbering coming from the kitchen. And she walked out and she said the tears weren't rolling down my face. They were literally spurting out of my eyes. And she went, what's wrong? And I went, you don't love me at this marriage is a farce. And she just looked at me and went,
go to sleep.
When did you last go to bed? I went, that's not the point. And she guided me to bed and she said, I was snoring before my head hit the pillow.
Oh my gosh.
And it is. It really blows your brain out.
Yeah.
You get paranoid. You start creating demons that don't exist. And yeah. That's just before you hit that moment is where you're most susceptible
yep.
to answering the questions they need. Now, going back to ASIO, they don't do this.
I was
going to
say, so ASIO would never do this.
No.
Their idea of interrogation is like, hello, would you like a cup of tea? Let's have a chat. There's a few people around.
We're going to bore you to death. Now, that's an interesting point. The lawyers yeah. that have been in the room with them say, look,
yeah.
we need to know, because the warrant's presented, but the brief for the warrant, why the warrant is being presented yeah. is not given to you.
Yeah.
They don't tell you why you're being questioned. They just question you.
Yeah.
And the lawyers, a couple of the lawyers all sort of went, well, hang on, we need to know what the brief is, because if you step up beyond the brief, we need to be able to tell our client you don't have to answer that question.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So the whole thing is, it's like the way they do it is they come at you from multiple angles.
Yeah.
So you can't actually work out what it is they really want to know.
Yeah.
And that way they can actually sort of like deep drill and find out.
So it's like doing a psychology test where yeah. they like just throw so many random questions at you that you don't actually really know what the point is mm-hmm. or which question is actually telling them anything about how you think or your process.
Exactly. Bamboozle yeah. you with bullshit.
Yeah, basically.
Right. They just keep you... They keep you on the back foot so you don't know what's coming next.
So Australia is quite reserved in the way they tackle interrogation. What about the British?
I think the British would be very much like Australia. Our intelligence organisations and the
similar.
Way we do it, we're very similar. Yeah. It's the Americans that have that real gung-ho attitude. I mean, we, as I said, we have what you would call a special operator. We use people that would go in and do actual physical stuff overseas. We call them soldiers, all right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it'd be the same with the British. In America, they take soldiers and then put them in the CIA so they can do sort of like hardcore black ops behind the enemy lines type work. One of the things that this is a good question for you. How many people do you think ASIO have done this to?
Done what?
Interrogated. In this what? Use this act to take them in and interrogate them.
Five.
Well, that's about five maybe a year, if you're lucky.
Yeah.
Because it's an incredibly, it's like a human intensive time. It's a lot of time. So, you know, as soon as you've got 10 people in a room to interview one guy, if you interview this guy for 10 hours, that's 100 man hours that you're taking up. It's a lot of time.
And I would imagine their whole point is to have done the research and get it all sorted before it gets to that point where you have to pull them in and interrogate them.
It all comes down to targeting.
Yeah.
Right, this is the target. We've heard through, say, internet scuttlebutt that this is going on. We need to talk to this guy. Get him in right now.
Yeah.
Right, grab, boom, in. So we get him. He comes in with his lawyer. We're going to start interviewing. We're going to ask you questions, and we're going to ask you a lot of questions until finally at the end. And, I mean, if you look at the stats, there's one was 15 hours, one was 10, 15, 5,
so
5,
not a long
12.
Time.
Not a long time, because basically you'd sit there and, like, I reckon with the ones that are about 2 hours long, they go 2 hours and say, this guy doesn't know anything.
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
So Australia, England, quite reserved. The Americans, a little bit gung-ho.
Yeah.
Although I feel like the sentiment around that kind of shifted a bit after the war on terror kind of died down.
Well, yeah. I mean, they still, I you know what, I reckon they'd still do it. I think if they think someone's a threat, they would definitely do it. I mean, Russia, God, I wouldn't want to crush Russia. I would not. The stuff you heard coming out, just back in the Soviet days, the stuff they used to do to themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? South Korea, North Korea. North Korea, I would not want to get caught by North Korea. That would not be pleasant.
No.
Would not be pleasant at all.
Well, I mean, you saw what happened to that American teenager.
Yeah.
Who
he stumbled across the border. Or you know what it was? It was one of those, I think I'll cross the border. That'll be fun.
I think it was just something really innocuous. And they thought he'd taken down a poster of Kim Jong-un. And then they held him and then ended up handing a body back.
Yeah, essentially, wasn't he brain dead?
Yeah, ended up being. So God knows what they did to him.
Well, it's amazing what you can do with electricity and sodium pentothal. You can completely burn a human brain right out.
Oh, my God. So, like a.
Here's
like
the
a
thing.
Lobotomy.
What I find interesting is, you know, all this stuff about torture. There's an interesting story coming from like the 15th century about a guy who called Balthazar who tried to assassinate Philip II and he got caught.
Mm.
He was expecting to leap out a window, land in the moat, swim across the moat, get the hell out of there. The first thing they did to him was smear him with honey.
Oh, I don't want to hear this.
And then get a goat to lick it off. Goat's tongues are like sandpaper.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh. You know a cat's tongue?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's an order of magnitude worse than that. The thing that's really strange about it, and we used to read about, particularly the Stasi in East Germany, you get intelligence reports about what they did. One of them they did, I do it in the live show. I show the audience what it feels like. Remember this? Loud Indonesian music.
Oh, no one needs that. No one needs that.
Yeah, no. Right, but you know, just constant. You think Barney the Dinosaur's bad?
No.
Loud Indonesian music.
No one needs
that. But he was going to hit you with that. And we sort of went, how bad could it be?
No, it's bad.
Let's get our Walkmans out and we'll put a tape of.
Oh, a Walkman? God. Okay, boomer.
It was the 80s. Come on. We were high tech.
And was it Sony?
Of course it was.
Little Sony Walkman.
Of course it was a Sony Walkman. Little silver one that I could clip to my belt.
Oh, God, with your bum bag?
Yeah.
Oh, mate, the picture. It's just a picture, really.
Yeah, and my pirate shirt, my skin tight jeans.
Oh, the 80s have a lot to answer for.
You know, sleep deprivation was bad, but 80s fashion, that messed me up for at least two decades.
It messed us all up.
Why do you think I only wear t-shirts and jeans now? It's like I'm trying to just get that horrible, ruffled shirt out of my system.
So basically between the vision of you in 80s garb and someone's teeth getting filed, I'm pretty sure we've covered all the bases.
I think you've had a really bad afternoon, haven't you?
Yeah. I need to go clean myself somehow.
You need a long, stiff drink and a nap.
So, look, it was a very healthy conversation around torture and, I mean, just talking to you is kind of tough sometimes.
It can be, I understand. I've actually used very often in certain interrogation techniques just to annoy people into talking about what they need to talk
Listen
about.
To this men talk.
No!
Okay, so we covered torture and all those things it encompasses.
Yeah.
In a very graphic way.
Yeah, Russian dentistry.
No, can we not? Okay. Let's just not. Next week, we're going to talk about compromise. Yeah. Now, this is an important one.
Yeah, this is a really important one because, you know, people get compromised and we've had examples of it in the media recently and it starts with me compromising myself in a massively stupid way.
Please tell me you had clothes on.
Oh, for a little while I did.
Okay.